Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, let me hear you say it.
God, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Power Lunch with Jesus and the Word. We know it's not lunchtime. It is 10 o'clock, glory to God, Eastern Time in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on this Thursday, April 26, 2012. Can't hardly believe that it's April already. Glory to God, but we thank God for seeing another day. We are going to do what the song says. We're going to put it on the altar right now, glory to God, because we want the Holy Spirit to come in and take over this broadcast. We want the Holy Spirit to lead, teach us, and guide us into all truth. We want the Holy Spirit to give us reproof, correction, and instruction found in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So before we go any further, let us just go into prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you again for this day. I thank you for allowing us, Father God, this day to wake up in our sound mind in our right minds and a mind still willing to serve you. Father, because I know on yesterday some people made a decision, a conscious decision, to not serve you anymore because of the cares of this world. But Father, I thank you for giving us a mind to continue to serve you, Father God. Father, I lift up this broadcast to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I ask, Father God, that you will send people to listen to this broadcast, Lord God, not because of me, but because of the truth of the word of God needs to be taught, Lord God, and we need to not only hear your words, but be doers of your word as well. So, Father God, I just present this broadcast to you, Lord God, and I decrease, and I ask your Holy Spirit to increase in me, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, I rebuke the spirit of error in the name of Jesus, and I call forth the spirit of truth to come down in the name of Jesus, that we all might receive the truth today, and not only receive the truth, but be doers of the truth today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for anybody that will be coming on this broadcast, oh God, or even listening to the archives who is not born again, that they will hear the word of God today, Lord God, and will be born again, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you for their soul being saved even on this day in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that this word falls on good ground, that we will plant the seed, Lord God. We may even be watering the seed, Lord God, but either way, I ask that you give the increase, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just ask that we will hear this word and put aside our denominational differences so that we can do the work of you, Lord God. Can we do your work, Lord God? We can go out into the field and get those saved. Go out to the highways and the hedges and the byways, Lord God, and compel them to come in, hallelujah. Compel them to come in, Lord God, for there is room at the table, hallelujah. So I thank you and praise you for it right now, God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for it being done right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. For those of you that are listening, if you're in the chat room or on the phone line, I would ask that you will get in touch with your friends and ask them to join us on the broadcast, hallelujah, today, because it is truly going to be a word of God, something to open up our understanding so that we can go forth in the word of God and do what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus is Lord today. Hallelujah. And one thing that really I remember Sunday when someone was bringing me home from church, and this whole thing got started because we were riding down the street and I saw all these different churches. And not only did I see the churches, but the churches were right next door to each other. They were different denominations, but they were right next door to each other. And then on some instances on the streets that we were riding down, there were churches directly across the street from each other, and they were totally different denominations. So I said, Lord, it bothered my spirit that there's so many churches and so many different denominations, but people don't want to come together in unity. And this is bothering me in my spirit. And welcome to Bishop Gerald Scott and Refuge 1827. Thank you so much for joining us. But it's really, really bothering me that there's so many denominations that people are battling back and forth with one another about denominational differences while people outside are going to hell, while people inside the church are even going to hell because we're worrying about the denominational differences instead of worrying about Jesus Christ, instead of worrying about getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out there, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The whole point is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out there so souls can be saved. That's the whole point of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about denominational differences. It's not about, okay, well, this group of people over here can't wear pants, so we don't want to associate with them. Or it's about those people over there, they go to church on Saturday, so we don't want to deal with them. It's not about that. The central message should be Jesus Christ. The theme of every denomination that believes in Jesus Christ should be Jesus Christ. Not about what you wear, not about, you know, if you are Baptist, if you're Pentecostal, or whatever it is. It shouldn't be about that. The central message should be Jesus Christ, him crucified, him raised again from the dead, sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, sitting on the right hand of power right now for us, making intercession for us. This is what should be the central message, that Jesus came to seek and save that are lost. This should be the message of the churches today, that Jesus came to seek and save them that are lost. Guess why? Because you can get people in your churches, and you can get the women to stop wearing pants. You can get them to stop putting in weaves. You can get them to stop putting on false nails and false eyelashes. But if their heart ain't right, they're still going to hell. How about that? We want to keep talking about the outside of the body, but God looks at the heart. He looks at the inward appearance. And he looks at what's going on inside. So it doesn't matter how long we wear our dresses. It doesn't matter if we go to church bald-headed or whatever the case is. If our hearts are not right, we're still going to hell. And God wants us to be saved today, and he wants people in the world to be saved. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to seek and save that are lost. He didn't come to seek and save those with dresses on to their knees. He didn't come to seek and save those that don't watch television. He didn't come to seek and save those that only go to church on Saturday. He said he came to seek and save them that are lost. And we're sitting around debating about denominations, whether this person speaks in tongues, whether that group speaks in tongues or not. How do you know you're supposed to speak in tongues? How did that? All of this stuff we're arguing about, like my husband says, it's a distraction. It's a distraction, a stumbling block, a block that has been set forth by the enemy, that we will come forth and argue about the differences of each religion instead of doing what Jesus told us to do. If you turn to your Bible and read what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, see, we don't wanna read the Word of God. We wanna spit the Word of God out and not understand what the Word of God says. We wanna spit the Word of God out, and we wanna make the Word of God to be what we want the Word of God to be. But the bottom line is what Matthew says, what Jesus said. He said, "Go out." He said, "Make disciples." Okay. And honey, while I'm doing this, I want you to please, if you go ahead and find our favorite scripture about going out in the byways and the hedges and compelling them to come in. Because we got it twisted now, you know. Well, everybody want to go and get people born again so they can come to their church. It's not about you, about them coming to your church because you're a particular denomination. We need to get these people to come in so they can get born again, so they can get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which is their power, so they can go forth and make more disciples, It's not, you know, we get caught up in the choir. We get caught up in how good the choir can sing. We get caught up with a pastor. If he hooping, he's a good preacher, and half of the time when they hooping, you don't even know what they're saying. You're saying amen to a bunch of stuff you don't even know what you're saying amen to. You people getting caught up on, was you baptized in Jesus' name, or was you baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you what Matthew says right now. It's Matthew 18, verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee," because remember, the 12th one killed himself, Judas. "The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubt it. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even unto the end of the age.'" Now, this is Jesus talking, and he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that right there is what makes people have denominational differences, because one will say, "Well, was you baptized in Jesus' name?" And the other one will say, "Well, no, I was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost." Well, guess what? The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are all one, okay? So if you got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, give yourself a hand praise. If you was baptized in the name of Jesus, give yourself a hand praise, because they're all one. So how about we stop this denominational stuff and just be baptized in the name of Jesus? And if you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, all right, you were baptized, okay? Keep it moving. You're going to let that stop you from fellowshipping and coming together in unity, all because one was baptized in the name of Jesus and one was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Come on, don't let the devil keep using you. Don't let the devil keep making you look like a nut. Don't let the devil keep stopping you from doing the work of the Lord because so-and-so wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus, or so-and-so was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in both. I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when I was in the Baptist church, and then when I got older and went to the Apostolic Church, I got baptized in the name of Jesus. Not because I thought either way was any better than the other way. I just did it because that's the church that I was going to at the time, and that's the way they did it. They would tell us, "You're not saved if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus." But Jesus said, "Be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." They're all one. Do y'all understand? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're all one. They're not three different people sitting up in heaven. The Father sitting over here, the Son sitting over there, and the Holy Ghost sitting over there. They're all one. glory to God. And the natural man don't receive the things of God because it's foolishness unto them. We can't discern the spiritual things of God with our natural mind. We got to go into the spirit realm to receive these things. But the whole point of the matter is we're letting things like that stopping us from fellowship with one another. And while we're not fellowshipping with one another, souls are not being saved. Souls are going to hell on the regular because we're fighting ourselves interdenominationally because we all can't get along. Psalm 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. To dwell together in unity. A three-strand cord is not easily broken. If we stand together in unity, we can take this city. If we stand together in unity, we can take this nation and put this nation back where it's supposed to be, in God. We know that there's going to be a falling away. We know that things are going to get worse and worse. But I tell you what, while things are getting worse and worse, souls can still be getting saved. While things are getting worse and worse, souls can still come to the Lord Jesus Christ and a pardon of their sins. Souls can still accept Jesus Christ as their Savior so they don't have to die and go to hell and go to the lake of fire. I'm trying to tell you, if we will band together in unity, and what I'm going to start doing, I'm going to start going to other churches, other denominations. I could have felt this in my spirit a few months ago. I'm just going to start popping up in different denominations, and I'm just going to begin to worship with them and pray with them. I'm not talking about these denominations that be doing crazy stuff now. Don't get it twisted. I'm not talking about people that go around and worshiping the devil or hugging trees and all that stuff like that. I'm not talking about that because the Bible don't tell you to worship the devil, and show notes don't tell you to worship trees and be hugging trees to get to God. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. And if anybody else is trying to get through the Son to the Father other than through Jesus Christ, then I'm not going to worship with you. But what I am going to do is let my light shine before men. What I am going to do is preach the gospel in season and out of season. What I am going to do is have Blog Talk Radio and invite people to come and listen to this Blog Talk Radio and listen to other Blog Talk Radios that are teaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. And not just teaching the Word of God, but living the Word of God. See, we got to get out there. The harvest is plenteous. Hallelujah. But the laborers are few. And people get mad at the Jehovah's Witnesses for walking around knocking on people's doors. I used to get mad at them too, but I'm not mad at them. Know why? Because they're going out there doing what they believe they're supposed to be doing while we're sitting back complaining about what the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing. What we should be doing is we should be taking the land that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is not just a prophet, but he is the Son of God. He went into the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and he came back, excuse me, with all power in his hand. And then he turned around and gave us that authority. He turned around and gave us that power. This is what we should be doing. We should be standing out on corners. It should be no day that the saint of God is not standing on the corner. If you don't want to say nothing to nobody, just stand up with a sign that says Jesus loves you. Stand up with a sign that says, are you born again? Give them something to think about. Write the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Put it down there. Give them something to think about. You're planting the seed. Somebody else is going to come by a water, and God's going to give the increase. You don't have to say a word. Just hold your sign up and say, Jesus is coming back again, and give them scripture for that. Hallelujah. Because I remember when what's that man named that was saying the world was going to end last year in October? First he said it was going to end in May. Then he turned around and said it was going to end in October. That man, Howard Camping, his people was all over the place. They had signs on their vans. They sold their houses and their stuff so they could get money and preach this thing that they was preaching around the world. They didn't just preach it in the United States. They preached it around the world that Jesus was coming back, and he was coming back on May something. I think it was the 21st, and then he was coming in October. The world was going to end in October, and it didn't happen. But they were going around promoting this thing, and people were listening to them. They were listening to the false doctrine. That's why if you were here when I prayed this morning, I pray about the spirit of error, and I ask God to remove the spirit of error, because all we want is the spirit of truth to come forth, and we want the word of God, which is truth, to come forth so people can hear the truth of the word. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We know the truth of the word of God, where Jesus says, go out into all nations, go out into the nations, make disciples. That's what he said, make disciples. And this is what we're not doing, because we're so busy fighting each other with these denominations. We're so busy talking about, well, my religion don't do this, and my religion don't do that, and I this and I that. Listen, it's not about you and your religion. It's about Jesus Christ, the one who came and died on the cross, the one one that rose again, hallelujah, and gave us the keys to hell, death, and the grave. The one that gave us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. The one that gave us all power over the power of the enemy. That's who it's about. It's not about us. It's about us doing what he told us to do, to go out and make disciples, to go out into the uttermost parts of the earth and make disciples. Why does he want us to make disciples? He wants us to make disciples so that they can go out and make disciples, so that they can go out and make disciples, so that they can go out and make disciples, so that people will not have to die and go to hell. Jesus came to seek and save them that are lost. Jesus came because this world is sick. When this world fell into sin because of the sin of our forefather Adam, hallelujah, the world became sinful. It wasn't sinful for that, but the world became sinful, and the sacrifices that they were doing in the Old Testament, the Israelites were doing in the Old Testament, wasn't enough. So God sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to come down in the form of a man, and he took upon the sins of the world. But see, we got to believe it. Jesus said, them that believe, hallelujah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, everybody's not going to believe, but how do you know the person that you witness to is not the whosoever? How do you know that that's not the whosoever that's going to believe in Jesus and their soul going to be saved? How do you know that while you fighting about these denominational differences and not going out there street witnessing, how do you know that that whosoever that you were supposed to minister to didn't just get hit by a car and went to hell because you didn't minister to them because you're worrying about your denominational differences? How do you know that? How do you know that the person you were supposed to minister to, maybe something happened to them, or maybe they just decided, you know what, this God thing ain't for me, because you ain't get off your denominational difference and go outside and minister the word of God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the Jehovah's Witness. They don't care what denomination you from. All they know is they're going to go out and do what they were told to do. They're going to hand you their little book. They're going to ask you if you could come in, if they can come in your house and sit down and talk to you. And they're going to tell you what they believe. And then they're going to leave their information. They're going on their merry way. If you accept their literature, they're going to come back. If you tell them they can come back, they're going to come back to your house and they're going to teach you. And they're going to go over their literature with you over and over again until you're indoctrinated with their literature, and then you become a Jehovah's Witness. And we want to sit down and be mad at them? No, we shouldn't be mad at them. We should be doing the same thing that they're doing, except we need to tell them about Jesus Christ, about how he died and he rose again, how he took upon the sins of the world, not just as a prophet, but as the Son of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, but we want to talk about them because they're of a different denomination and they're out there doing what they do. No, get up off your denomination and go out and do the work of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It don't matter if you're young. It don't matter if you're middle-aged. It don't matter if you're old. It don't matter what you've been taught in your life. You can ask the Holy Ghost to teach me. Holy Ghost, I need you to teach me. I need you to lead me and guide me into all truth. I need you to give me that power that she just talking about, that power of the Holy Ghost, so that I can go out there with boldness and bring people in. I can go out into the uttermost parts of the earth, like you said, Jesus, and make disciples and bring them in. Hallelujah. For the harvest is truly plenteous. It's ripe right now. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Why are the laborers few? Because we too busy sitting on our denomination doing nothing. We too busy wanting to be in a big choir. We too busy wanting to be in a big church. We too busy wanting to do all of this. We want to be sitting underneath the famous pastor. You know, we want to build the church that holds 10,000 people. We want to do that. So what good is a church that holds 10,000 people and you got a great choir and you got all these people in the church ministering to the people in the church, but you're not outside doing nothing. You're not outside winning souls. What good is all of that doing? And I'm just asking because the word of God tells us, hallelujah, that we're supposed to make disciples of people. We're supposed to go out and make disciples of them. Why? Because there's room at the table. Why? Because people are dying every day. Why? And they're going to hell. Why? Because we're not getting up saying what we're supposed to say, bringing people in to the kingdom of God, snatching them out of darkness and bringing them into the kingdom of light. Now, there's one thing I wanted to say, too. I wanted to talk about the Azusa Street Revival. Back in 1906, there was an Azusa Street Revival, and people from all over were coming and gathering at this Azusa Street Revival, and people were getting born again. People were getting filled with the Holy Ghost and power. They were not concerned about color. They were not concerned about denominational differences, and if they were concerned about that before they got there, when they left there, that was not their concern anymore, because they had been filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and they went out and started making disciples of people, and that Azusa thing went on and on. People were getting healed and people were getting delivered. Why? Because people came together on one accord with one mind, just like they did in the book of Acts when they were sitting in the upper room. They came together, hallelujah, with one accord. They were on one accord and had the same mind, and they were sitting there waiting for Jesus to send the power like he said he was going to send them. You shall be, hallelujah, be having power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will be having power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you'll be witnesses of me in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's what Jesus said, wait until I send the promise. Wait until I send the promise. But he done already sent the promise. He done already sent the Holy Ghost. And you can be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, Father God, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost because you said I could have the Holy Ghost. And I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost and power. I want to go forth in power to win souls for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I want to go forth and win souls. Those souls that it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the souls that Satan had blinded, I want them to come out of blindness right now in the name of Jesus. God, I want you to give me wisdom. I want you to give me wisdom in the word of God. I want you to give me wisdom on how to minister to this individual and that individual, because everybody is not going to be the same thing. That everybody is not a cookie cutter. It's not a cookie cutter project right here. But God will give you wisdom and what to do. But we need to come together in unity in the body of Christ. We need to put our denominations down. We need to come together and have a prayer meeting in each and every city of this United States. We need to just come together, and we need to go over to the Church of God in Christ. We need to go over to the Church, hallelujah, of Latter-day Saints. We need to go over there to the church that go to church on Saturday. We need to go over there to the church, hallelujah, where they say that women can't preach. We need to go over there to this other church where the Baptists, you know, they do whatever they want to do. We need to go over there to this church over here, to the AMEs and the CMEs and the ABCDEFGs. We need to go to all of these churches, and we need to go here and talk to them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to go over there and talk to them and come together in unity and come together in prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I thank God today, hallelujah, that Jesus did, hallelujah, somebody just posted this on Facebook, Jesus did die for us to show how much he loved us. But see, we want to hold on to the love of Jesus. We want to hold on because, oh, well, I'm saved and that's all that matters. Wrong answer. Jesus said, go out and make disciples. Hallelujah. Make disciples. And that's what he did. If you look in the Bible, when Jesus was walking around, he wasn't just doing miracles. He was making disciples. Hallelujah. A lot of them came to him because they saw the miracles that he was doing. But he was out there doing something. We stand behind closed doors. Nobody's seeing miracles doing because we stand behind closed doors. Nobody's seeing nothing being done because we want to be on the radio behind the scenes, or we want to be on TV behind the scenes. But what about going out in the street? What about letting people see you? What about going out there with a Bible? If you can't do nothing but stand there and read John 3:16 over and over again and read it loud enough for people to hear you so that somebody walking past will hear about the love of God, then you have done your duty. But if you don't know what to do, ask God what to do. Ask him what to do. Read his word. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you which corner to be on. He'll show you what tract to give out. He'll show you what sign to put up. He'll tell you exactly what to do so people can come out of darkness and be saved. Glory to God. Now, I put something on Facebook, and I said I wanted to do a flash mob, and I'm not surprised at all, but I see people don't want to do it. People don't want to go out in groups and come together with one another and go out and pray and then go out and take the city. People don't want to do that. People want to go to church and sit in them four walls, be entertained, and go back Sunday after Sunday and be the same way. We even people in the church that's messed up because of denominational difference. Well, I was in this church, and they said this, and I was in this church, and I said this. Now I'm in this church, and I'm going to do this, and yada, yada, yada. Don't know what to do. Don't know what to do. Won't pray. Won't seek God. Won't ask the Holy Ghost for direction. Won't ask the Holy Ghost to lead them and guide them into all truth. Won't do none of that. And in the meantime, people sitting out going to hell. People sitting around going to hell because we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. But guess what? I want to tell you this. If I tell you nothing else, I want to tell you this. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a church without a spot or a blemish. He's coming back for the believer. He's coming back for the obedient believer. He's coming back for the one that's going to do his will. Glory to God. Because I know for a fact that if somebody didn't tell me about Jesus, I wouldn't even be saved today. Glory to God. I wouldn't be saved today. I wouldn't know about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't know that he died on Calvary and he shed his blood for me. I wouldn't know that he was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. I wouldn't know that the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I'm healed. I wouldn't even know that had somebody not told me that. Hallelujah. And had I not begun to study the word of God for myself. Glory to God. But see, now I don't need to be within the four walls. Yes, I do go to church. Yes, I do go into the four buildings. I mean, the four walls of a building. And my pastor is Sheila M. Miller. And my apostle is Richard T. Miller. I do go to church. Yes, I do. But I tell you what, I'm not bound by those four walls, because every day that I'm alive and I go out is an opportunity for me to witness. Every day that I go to work as an opportunity for me to witness. I take my materials to work with me, and I allow my materials to lay on my desk, and when somebody come, they'll look at it, and they'll read it, and they'll say, can I have this? Not for me. I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this because I want attention. I'm doing this because I want to snatch you out of the kingdom of darkness and bring you into the marvelous light. I want to bring you to the feast, hallelujah, that's at the table that Jesus is waiting for you to come. Jesus said, bid them to come, because Jesus was saying in the story, he said, he asked so-and-so to come. They said, I can't come because I just got some new animals and I got to go feed them and water them, so I can't come. I'll come later. He asked another person. The man said, I can't come. I just got married. I got to go get jiggy with my wife, so I can't come right now. He asked somebody else, and they always had an excuse why they couldn't come. So Jesus said, forget them. Go out into the hedges and the highways. Go out to the byways. Go out in the streets and compel them to come in, because there's room at my table. Tell them to come in so they can be my guests at my table. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus is saying today. You talk to so-and-so over there and they don't want to come in. Oh, go to the next person. Glory to God. They'll come in. Come on. Bid them to come. Glory to God. And I'm asking you today. I'm compelling you today. Hallelujah. To go out and make disciples. Go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Don't talk about your denomination and what you believe and what you don't believe. Talk about Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the reason that people are getting born again anyway. It's not about your denomination, because your denomination is not what saves people. Glory to God. It is the confession with the mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Son of God, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That is the confession. That is what's bringing you to salvation. Faith in what Jesus did on that cross. Faith in what Jesus did on the cross. That is where the salvation comes in. It don't matter what denomination you are. It don't matter if you AME, CME, ABCDEFG. It don't matter. What matters is that you believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace, my peace, our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here we go with that Holy Ghost roll. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If it's anybody in the chat room, glory to God, if you would like to call in and be a guest on the line, please call area code 323-693-3054 and press the number 1, and I will get you on the line. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because God may have given you a nugget, something other than what he has given me. And we're all supposed to be helpers of one of another. Glory to God. And the whole thing is about bringing souls into the body of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So again, if you'd like to call, the number is 323-693-3054. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And honey, I know that you are on the line, and welcome to Freedom Doors Ministry. I'm Evangelist Mack. If you want to get on the line, please call. Glory to God. Lisa Shaw Evans, God bless you, my best friend. I love you so much. Anybody on the line, you're on in the chat room, you can get on the line. Guest 683, guest 712, K-Pow Radio, thank you so much for being here. Ed, I see you in the chat room. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wish you would call in and get on the line. My husband, you are on the line. Is there anything that you would like to say?
I'd like to say that what you're talking about, it's very, very important. It's timely. It's far overdue. Denominations, if you look at the history of virtually every, we're not talking about religion, we're talking about denominations, because denominations are all believers, or so at least supposedly claim to be believers in Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, on some level or another. But let me say this, most denominations, if you look at their history, they came out of really a rebellious situation. Whether it was reacting to prejudices against them, whether it was reacting because of disagreement with the denomination they were in, and they broke away, most of them were established as a protest against the denomination they were in. So the initial denomination, if you will, or the initial church, I would rather say, was the church that Peter, James, and John founded there in Jerusalem. In the upper room, if you look at the upper room church, the history, I know you talked about it on yesterday, the history as recorded in the book of Acts, written by the apostle Luke. St. Luke wrote that as well as the book of Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the history of the early church. If you want to know how the early church carried itself, how the early church performed, what the acts they did, how they responded to the call of Christ Jesus, it begins with the ascension of Christ, goes into the election of the replacement for Judas, goes into the election of the deacons, it goes into how you do these things. If you notice, there was no official board meeting to select the replacement for Judas, Matthias, but rather how they did was through lots, and they prayed on the lots to put the lots in the names in the into a basket. They drew the name of Matthias. There was no division. There was no schism. There was no disagreement. There was no rebellion. There was no separation. The church was not divided. There was no there was nothing that would be derogatory about the choice. How come? Because they put the names into a basket. They prayed, Lord, have your way. Lord, you decide. And whatever name we draw out will be the name that you've decided should be the 13th or the replacement for Judas. It was done. There was no animosity. There were no hard feelings. There were no sitting down on your hand because he's now the next disciple. They accepted what was done. They went ahead. They came into one accord, and then the Holy Spirit descended upon them.
Stop right there, because that's it. Say it again.
They came together. They elected the replacement for Judas. They continued to come together. There was no, because at that point, you know, in our churches today, if someone's elected to an office and I don't agree with the election, I'm going to sit on my hands. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to try to see if I can veto it. I'm going to see if I can sabotage the election. I'm going to do everything I can to make this person uncomfortable and this decision of no effect. But they weren't like that. What they did was draw even the closer. They were together in the election. They were together after the election. They stayed together on one accord through it all. And then they went, according to the word of God, in chapter 2 of Acts, they went into the upper room preparing to receive what God had for them. They were of different nationalities, of different ethnic groups, of different cultures, of different languages, but they all came together. Some were black, some were white, some were yellow. They were of all different shades and sizes, different backgrounds, but they came together.
They came together in one. Unity on one accord.
Yes.
And if you read the scripture, and pull it out, because we want to read the scripture, because sometimes people don't believe what they're hearing. And I want to pull that scripture out, because when you go down and read it, you say, well, people were understanding the languages. But they were all on one accord.
There were different languages.
Y'all hear an echo? Okay, in Acts chapter 2,1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Y'all heard that? One accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own language and in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and what was in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Crete, and Arabians, we who hear them speak in our tongues,
the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed
and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said,
these men are full of new wine.
Call them drunk. And they were drunk.
They were there and they were drunk.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, but these are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass, the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs of the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay, it's a bad echo.
All right, let me try this again. All right. Okay, can you hear me now? I can still hear the echo. It's better because I hear the echo myself. Okay, so then can you guys hear me? Okay, we turned off the phone, the home phone. That's better. Okay, praise God. Well, I was reading from Acts chapter 2, okay? And if you know what the book of Acts says, they were all sitting on in one accord. They were in one place on one accord. And what I would like to see the denominations do is to come together. Come together and pray. Come together and pray. Come together and pray. Pray for what? Pray for the anointing of God to fall on us, first of all. We need to come together and ask God to forgive us for our allowing division in the body of Christ. Remember, we are the body. We are supposed to be one, okay? One is the foot, one is the leg, one is the eye, one is the arm, one is the toe, one is the finger, one is the neck, one is the kidney, one is the liver, one is the lung, one is the heart, one is the muscles in the leg. We got to come together because each one of us means something in the body of Christ. Is everybody the head? No, everybody's not the head. But in a lot of places, everybody wants to be the head. Why don't we just come together in unity and let God use us the way he wants to use us? But we need to come together in prayer. Ask God to forgive us for allowing disunity in his body, for allowing us to bring shame on his name because we cannot come together in unity. Not that we cannot. It's not that we don't want to. We don't want to come together because this denomination think they're better than that denomination, and that denomination think they have all of the answers, and that other denominations don't really know what they're doing. But guess what? Hallelujah. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And Evangelist Mac, you're right. Many don't have his spirit living in them. That's why we can't come together. Some people don't even believe we're supposed to have the Holy Ghost. But guess what? Those of us that do have the Holy Ghost, those of us that do have the Spirit of God living with us, those of us that do know the power of the Holy Ghost and the power that we've been given by Jesus Christ, we need to come together. We need to come together in unity. We need to get a phone line going if we can't men come together in one accord in one place. We can get together on the phone line. Yes, we can. We can get on a free conference call. Yes, we can. We can get all our friends together and come together at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we can pray, and we can come against the kingdom of darkness. Yes, we can. We can do that. Why can't we do that? There is no boundaries as far as one being able to travel here, there, or anywhere, because we have the power of the World Wide Web, which people don't, you know, some people say it's of the devil, but let me tell you something. We need to use it to our advantage. We need to get on the World Wide Web, and we need to contact every friend in our Facebook page and tell them, look, at 6 o'clock in the morning, we're going to get together, and we're going to pray, and we're going to come together, and we're going to rebuke Satan. We're going to come against the power of darkness. We're going to command the blindness that Satan has blinded these people. We're going to command the blindness to come off their eyes in the name of Jesus, and that they're going to be saved. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. See, but that takes Evangelist Mac, and I don't know why you don't get on the phone, but that takes real commitment. I'm trying to tell you, it takes commitment to get up in the morning time and pray at 5 o'clock for souls to be saved and to come out of the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. You on the phone line? Let me go over here to the phone line and get you in on this phone line. Oh, we got several people on the phone. Okay, 904, that's you, Evangelist Mac. Evangelist Mac.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, Jesus in the morning. Good
Hallelujah.
Morning.
Listen, this is what I know. I have never found a denomination in the Word of God.
Me either.
And when Apostle Paul first introduced the church, they went from house to house.
Yes, they did.
And these people had love, and these people wanted the Word of God. These people wanted God. But see, what has happened today, many of us had to go through. We're peculiar people. We're of a royal priesthood. We're not going to have the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. We're not going to drive Mercedes and BMWs and Lexus. We're not going to do all of this.
Right.
Many of us. Because this was not the plan of God for our lives. His plan was for us to love one another.
Yes.
The first plan was for us to obey him. That's the very first thing.
That was the first.
Yeah, because if we don't obey God, then we don't belong to him. So once we learn to obey God and his word, because he was speaking to your spirit, I'm a living witness.
Yes, yes, yes.
Once we learn obedience is better than the sacrifice, stop running to these buildings, giving your money, and coming home living any kind of way, get a prayer life and a Bible study life personally.
Yes, yes, yes.
And stop listening to everything that the pastor say and seek God for yourself.
Seek God for yourself.
But men want to come in the building and hear what the pastor say. I don't want y'all over there. Before you can obey God, you got to go to the man, the pastor, to get permission to do what God told you to do. That's ridiculous. When I got ready to leave Birmingham, Alabama, I didn't go to Bishop and say nothing. I prayed and I asked the Lord, I said, God, how am I going to tell Bishop I got to go? The Lord didn't say anything. Bishop, come to me. Bishop, come to me. He said, Evangelist Mac, he said, baby, your seat, I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving right now. He said, your season is up here. He said, woman, you got to go. You've been a blessing here. And we thank God for sending you through.
Yes.
But you got to go.
Yes.
And honey, I packed it up and I went on. But whether Bishop would have said anything or not, I was going on because God say go. And see, we don't have discernment of spirits because we're not seeking God's face. We're not seeking his word. We out here on what look good, what sound good, and what feel good. It's not about a feeling today.
It's not about
a feeling. It's about knowing.
That's right.
By faith and trust in God. And his word.
That's right.
That he is Almighty God who has all power. Every word of God is pure today. Hey, Lord Jesus.
Every word of God.
And he's a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Yes.
Forever, O God, thy word, hallelujah, is settled in heaven.
Yes.
If his word is settled in heaven, honey, it's real powerful on the earth.
Yes, it is.
And your denomination will not save you.
That.
Jesus.
That's it right there. That, see, that right there will make me jump up and run around because your denomination will not save you.
But I'm this way, Evangelist. You can come from the Catholic Church if you want to. You can come from the Methodist Church. You can come from the Baptist. You can be Pentecostal, Apostolic, anything you want to be. If you believe Jesus is the Son of the true and living God, and if you believe that God so loved us, he sent his only Son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, we can make a go right there.
I'm not talking about
your personal belief.
That's right.
Or people got their own doctrine.
Your own problem.
Some people believe in serving water for communion. Some people believe in serving grape juice for communion. Some people believe in serving the real wine. That's all kind of stuff. But I want to get together on one accord, as you said. I want to pray the prayer of faith and trust God that he will use us in his service to bless people. Now is the appointed time that we can come together and lift up the name of Jesus. And if we come on one accord for real, it's him that will do the drawing.
Yeah, one accord for real.
He said if he be lifted up now, he'll draw all men unto him. He'll draw the Jew. He'll draw Italians.
Yes.
He'll draw Asians.
Yes.
He'll draw black folk.
Yes.
He'll draw every kind of folk.
Yes, the Muslim. Yes, he will.
And he'll draw them to the Muslim,
yes,
the Catholic,
yes,
whatever
yes,
you say you are today,
you
God
are.
Will do a work in you.
Yes,
and when
sir.
He gets through, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt it was him.
That's right, you Florida preacher. You better say it.
But see, we're too busy building our own empire and using God's name. Do you know some people build a church on just one thing? I was over there at the house around the corner church, and they wouldn't let me say amen. So I'm going to build a church on just amen. That's all they believe is amen.
Yeah, and that's just what my husband said earlier. You know, people, a lot of these denominations started off because somebody was mad at somebody in their church, so they went and jumped off and started doing their own denomination and started doing their own thing. And I'm like, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Guess what? Even non-denomination has become a denomination. Did you hear what I said? Even non-denomination has become a denomination. People are so quick to say now, oh, I'm non-denomination. We non-denomination. We this and we that. The thing is are you obeying the word of God? I don't care what
you
say.
Woman.
Where are you obeying the word of God? The word of God said go out and compel them to come in. He didn't say
Look,
go
let me
out
tell
and
you this,
build
Evangelist
all these choirs and all
there
this.
There are preachers.
Out. What?
There are preachers, there are prophets, there are prophetess, there are evangelists, pastors, all these people down under the bridge. Some of these people are homeless, living in homeless shelters.
Uh-huh.
Some of these people are going through, you know why? Nobody went out
tell
them the truth.
No.
And nobody have a discernment of spirit where God can speak to you and tell you, God called you, woman, to pastorship. God called you, man, to an evangelist.
Yes.
I was in Fairbanks, Alaska, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to go downtown on First Avenue. When he first sent me, he just sent me and the word. And there was a couple on the bench. I'm talking about in the dead of winter. Y'all, if you've never been there, you never felt this kind of cold. I went. And God used me to bless the couple. Well, the next week he told me when I go to take clothes and socks and blankets and food. I fixed sandwiches and put Debbie cakes and fruit and drink in the bag and took them on down there. Well, these other preachers said they wanted to go with me, so they come with me. There was a whole tribe of people living under the bridge. And in the middle of First Avenue, the chief of the tribe come and he said, oh, you're the one out here doing this. I said, no, I'm the one God sent out here. He said, oh. And that morning I had prayed the prayer of faith, and I was sitting on the side of the bed around about 10 o'clock, and I was asking the Lord. I said, Lord, what are they doing in heaven right now? I said, Lord, I'm sure they're praising. So I went off into praise. And I heard the Lord tell me, if you'll continue to be obedient, one day you'll surely get to hear me say, well done. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
I went on off into praise, got on up and got dressed, went on and to take the stuff and pick the preachers up. When the chief come and I told him I was the one God sent, he said, and if you would continue to obey God. Now, the chief wasn't there that morning. He wasn't in my bedroom. I was there by myself. He said, if you'll continue to obey God, one day you'll surely get to hear him say, well done. Look here. They had to come and help me in the middle of First Avenue downtown. I had a bad case of the I just couldn't help it, and I didn't want no cure for it.
Mama.
He said, ma'am, what happened to us is we left God. He said, and I'm the head. I left him and all the people left him. He said, but God sent you, and now that God has come, we're going back to God, and I'm taking my people back to the village. He
my
said,
Lord.
And it's almost time for the buffalo to run.
My
he
Lord.
Said, so we're going back so we can get buffalo and have food for the winter.
My God. My
now,
Lord.
Listen, after that, every weekend, I rode through there looking for that tribe of people. I'm talking about a bunch of people. I'm talking about hundreds in numbers. I looked for them people. They was nowhere to be found. And there was a man there, a tall man and a short man. And they both were alcoholics. The tall man had beat the short man up the night before. The blood was still on his shirt. And I was talking to one lady, and one of the preachers was talking to these two men. And this tall man who had beat the short man up was getting rowdy with the preacher. The Lord say, look. When I looked, I saw it. God said, go over there. When I went over there, Evangelist Scott, you could hear them things in his stomach, them demons in his stomach, saying, shh, be quiet. She going to cast us out. I could hear him. The Lord say, lay hand in his midsection and command him out. I laid hand in his midsection and I commanded him out in the name of Jesus. He left us and walked over to the rail. There was a river running. He upchucked them things out of his stomach down into the river. When he come back over there, he was a whole nother man.
My
the preachers with me, they were shaking. They were so scared. What was that? What was? I said he was full of demons. He had a legion, and he had to cast. I had to cast them things out. They said, we ain't never seen nothing like this. I said, I know. Because, see, what they was going on, they was members of the Baptist church. All y'all
right,
know him.
Right.
And they was going on what the pastor taught them and denomination and church protocol and the way you act in church. This is what they was going on. They didn't have Jesus.
Mm.
If you'll go back and look, he cast them things out down into the swines, and the swines went down
yes,
and drowned themselves.
That's right.
Some people have, like you said, they have never heard of the Holy Ghost. Paul wrote down and asked them, say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we have never even heard of such. You see,
never even heard of such.
The only way you're going to know about the things of God, you got to seek God. You got to get in God's word, and you got to know it for yourself.
Yes.
You must get real, not denomination, what church you belong to, who my pastor is, none of that matters. What matters is the Spirit of God and you in obedience to his Spirit and to his word. He says the harvest is plenteous, Bishop, but the laborers are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers.
Yes.
But how about the labor he called us to? And it's not according to denomination, and it's not according to pastor. A preacher from Florida, long-winded. I'm going to give it back to you, Evangelist Scott.
Let me tell you, I knew it before I called you on the line. I knew it was going to happen before I called you on the line, but I called you anyway. Because
Amen.
There's some things that we needed to hear. Glory to God. But my thing is while I give much respect to my pastor and to my apostle, to the church
yes.
that I currently go to, I give much respect to them.
Yes.
And like you said, when your pastor came to you and said, woman of God, it's time for you to leave, I believe they will know. I believe
yes.
they will know. If they are praying pastor and a praying apostle, they will know when it's time for you to go. 9 times out of 10, they will come to you and say, you know, this is what the Lord said to me. It's time to go. Or if you have to go to them and say it's time for me to leave, they will know that and not try to hold you back. Now, I've been in churches where we've said, you know, the Lord has called us to do X, Y, Z. And they say, well, no, he ain't tell me that. So you need to sit down. You can't go nowhere and you can't do nothing. Huh?
Oh,
well,
no.
And then when we did leave, we was called rebellious, disobedient, this, that, and the third. You know, all of that stuff. But we know we was called out to do the work of the Lord. But
yes.
guess what? We have to know. We have to do things decently and in order. But when God say move, you better move. When
Amen.
God say move, you better move. Because you don't know whether your life is at stake or somebody else's life is at stake. All we know is that to be obedient is better than to sacrifice your life. to obey is better to go ahead and be obey than to fall into the hands of an angry God. It is just better to go ahead and obey and do what thus saith the Lord, because in the end, the blessings will overtake you. Why wait? Why to be disobedient for all these years and not do what the Lord say do? Come on, it's just time to go out and do the work of the Lord. It's time to go, and people are blinded. Don't y'all remember when y'all was blind? Don't y'all remember when y'all was walking in darkness? Don't y'all remember when y'all was living a lifestyle of sin and you just did what you wanted to do, didn't care about heaven or hell, didn't care about the end result of your life? Don't you remember that? Don't you remember when you got saved and God opened up your spiritual eyes and gave you spiritual understanding and you realized what he brought you through? Don't you remember how you felt when he brought you in, hallelujah, and you felt like a new person because the Bible says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away and all things have become new? Don't you remember how you felt when you gave your life to Christ for real? Don't you want somebody else to get that? Don't you want somebody else to be a new creature in Christ Jesus? Don't you want somebody else to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light? Don't you want to save somebody else from going to the lake of fire, just like you've been saved from going to the lake of fire? Don't you want these people to be saved? Glory to God. It's not about you. And my girlfriend Lisa said it on her page the other day. She said, it's not about you. It's not about me, but it's about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and drawing people unto him. Because like you said, Evangelist Mae, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Yeah. Hallelujah. He didn't say if Barbara was lifted up. He didn't say if Teresa was lifted up. He didn't say if Gerald or Ed or anybody else was lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. Because we're supposed to be bringing them into Jesus. It's not about the programs you have at your church. It's not about whether your preacher's last name is Long or Jake or White or whatever their last name is. It's about Jesus. We're not supposed to be drawing people to people. We're supposed to be drawing them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I have heard people on Street Witness, and they say, well, you know, come to my church because my pastor is a bomb, and they preach like this. And girl, when you leave out of there, you be to know you done had church. And 9 times out of 10, you leave out of church, you don't even know what the pastor said. You don't even know what went on because you're so busy bopping and hopping to the music. You still don't even know what went on.
Come on.
And you're talking about, come on to my church, because we did. My pastor be like, oh, yeah, and glory. Can I get an amen? Huh? Can I get an amen? Huh? What up, amen to your, huh? What is in your, huh? I don't even know what you said, but, huh? Can you help me out here, please?
Okay.
And there's so much of this is going on in folk kings. How are you getting saved off of, huh? Jesus.
I'm going to tell you something else.
Tell your neighbor,
A lot of people follow pastors and churches because of this prosperity thing. They teach in prosperity, and folk don't want to be without. And they feel like if they pray to God and ask for something, God is not going to give it to them. So they follow these prosperity preachers, and they appear to be making God a sugar daddy. But God is nobody's daddy. He's our heavenly Father. He's holy.
Yes.
And he's to be reverenced.
Yes.
He said he supplied needs. If you look at Philippians 4:19, he let you know now, I supply need according to my riches and glory by my Christ Jesus.
That's right.
He will meet the need in your life. If there's something you want and you ask God for it, even if it is the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, if it's in God's will, and you're not praying amiss, and you have the right motives, God will supply the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy.
Yes.
But if we're praying amiss, and we don't have the right motives, I don't see God giving this kind of stuff. But man, teach you how to give it. I've never seen Apostle Paul teach these boys how to have a financial plan. Bring a financial plan into the church. And I need to know what everybody income is, so I need to know what everybody tithes and offering is going to be. He said, give because he loves the cheerful giver. And when he said, well, a man robbed God, he's not just talking about in tithes and offering only, although that's what was said. But when you rob your neighbor from being saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost sealed, when you rob the drug abuser, the alcoholic, the prostitute, the adulterer, the fornicator, will you rob them from being saved? Because we're not going out obeying God. We're sitting up in these four walls. See, we can holler and scream and do all of this in the four walls, but we can't do nothing outside. Pastor Sniff come yesterday. Pastor Ken Sniff come. and he talked about it. Many so-called leadership in the church, they're from meeting to meeting to meeting. What you meeting on? Because the world is not changing. What you meeting on? That building you go to worship and fellowship and hear the word of God, nothing in there has changed. The people getting worse instead of better.
Let me tell you something.
Because you got the same people coming with them spirits of lust, the spirit
same
of this,
thing.
The spirit of that on them, and spirits leap and jump.
And they're not being, the spirits and the people ain't casting them out and continuing to allow this stuff to sit up in their churches.
Okay,
and
they're
I was
not
telling
being
somebody,
delivered. I see them, look here. I see them on Facebook and many other places, even in person.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the stuff that these people tell me, I have to look at them. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's not God. And I know this for myself. He wants us to stop being sinners.
Yes, he does.
About saved by grace. He wants us to stop being sinners and talking about God know my heart.
Yep.
He wants us to walk upright in the spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. He wants us to hide his word in our heart that we don't sin against him.
Yes, and Evangelist Mac, I was speaking with someone on yesterday afternoon, and I don't even know how we got on the subject, but a friend of mine in the chat room, she knows what I'm talking about. I was invited to go to this church to bring a word from the Lord, and when I got there, there were so many things going on, and some things I knew in the natural and some things God was revealing to me in the spirit. Now, I'm not saying that I'm all super spiritual because that's not who I am, but I know the Spirit of God speaks, he speaks. So anyway, I went to this church. And the pastor was getting ready to ordain some people. Did you hear what I said? He was getting ready to ordain some people. And the Spirit of God spoke and said, you better not ordain them. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He said, you better not ordain them. Because if you ordain them, whatever they are and whatever they're doing right now is what they're going to be doing when you give them that title after you ordain them. They don't come to church when they're supposed to. They fight against the pastor. Everything the pastor say, they got something to say. They rebel against the pastor. They get up in his face. They tell him what they want him to do. Okay? They tell him how the church is supposed to be run. And then he going to ordain them. The Spirit of God said, you better not ordain them. They looked at me in the pulpit, and I tell you, if my friend was on the phone, she could tell you. My BFF, she could tell you because she was sitting right there. If they could have threw tomatoes and stones and killed me up in that church, they would have killed me. You know they have not invited me to that church since. They won't even look at me when they see me. And one of the ladies that was there, she grabbed my hands and called herself reading me, talking about you are a woman of God and you're very powerful. I was like, yeah, I know who I am. I don't need you to tell me that. I already know that. You telling me something I already know. And they was mad at me. They was mad at me, Evangelist Mac, and they still are. But do you know that some of those people left that church? And do you know that pastor did not ordain those people? Ones that was left, he did not ordain them for a year later. For a year later. Yes, they talked about me, but I don't care. I'll go up in their church right now if the Spirit of God tell me so. And whatever he tell me to say, I will say what the Spirit of God say. But I'm not in it for, you know, Teresa to go in there and say whatever she want to say. The Spirit of God said you better not ordain them.
Okay, and now you know why he did not ordain them, because God had spoken to him first, but he was going to be a coward and a punk and do it anyway. God says what he means, and he means what he say. Let me tell you, we were made for his pleasure. The word says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
Yes.
If we're not focused, we're going to miss it, y'all. We're going to miss it. Our main focus is to obey. We must learn the word of God, get a Bible study life going. And we can't read a scripture and run out the door because we're so busy. But we got to take that time from the enemy and get in God's word. That devil is not playing.
Not playing.
He's
y'all
not playing.
Playing
and we need
y'all
not to pray
with him. That's right. People playing with the devil. He ain't playing with you. He don't like you. He don't like you.
No.
He don't like you. If you can't get get that in your head and get it in your spirit. The devil don't like you. He not your friend. He don't. He want to give you fakes and frauds. Anything that God has made, he want to try to make another copy of it. He want to make a facsimile of it. He want to twist it and pervert it. He want to make it appear to be God so that he can destroy you. He want to assassinate you. He want to get you out here and say, oh, you know, if you do a little bit of this, it's going to be okay. If you do a little bit of that, God understand your heart. The devil is a lie. Anything that comes from the devil is meant to destroy your soul. Anything that comes from the devil is meant for you to go straight to hell. I want you to know that. Does the devil on God no tricks for you? That's good. Anything he got for you is bad, and you need to understand it. If it's from the devil, you better run the opposite way. In fact, you don't run. You draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what you're supposed to do. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You ain't got to run from the devil. You got the power of God inside of you. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to flee, because the word of God says if I draw unto him, then he's going to draw nigh unto me. And you can't be up in this. Hallelujah. This is me and God, not me and you and God. Bye, boy. This is about bye, boy. And that's what I like to say. Who you think you are? We got two callers on the line. We're going to try to get to one of them. But let me tell you something. Hallelujah. God is real. And don't play with the devil, because the devil got power. But Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over the enemy, over all the power over the enemy. You better know what the word of God say. You better know what the word of God say and stop running and running from people. Stop running from people and letting them lead you by the nose, telling you every and anything. If God say go, you better say, I love you and bye. That go for me too. If God say go, peace, I'm out, because I got to do the work of the Lord. And I'm not saying anything about the church that I currently attend. Straight Gate Church of Faith of Deliverance, 4649 Frankfort Avenue, Pastor Sheila M. Miller and Apostle Richard T. Miller. I'm not saying nothing against them. Glory to God. But I know for a fact, but the one thing about them, they know who I am in the Lord. They know the calling on my life about God. They do know that. I know they know that, because they've approached me about it a couple of times. So I do know they know who I am in the Lord. And I'm not saying that to brag, but the word of the Lord has got to get done. And I feel a shift in the atmosphere, Evangelist Mac. It's a shift in the atmosphere. There is a shift in the atmosphere. And we better get out and be doing what we're supposed to be doing, because we're going to be held accountable for what we're not doing.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you this, just today alone, and I'm going to let you get to the callers. It was in my spirit I had to go to the post office. I kept procrastinating it, making excuses. Eventually, I went to the post office. And see, sometimes when God do this, there's no big check in the mail for you. There's nobody even for you to see. But the anointing you carry, God is going to use that anointing to do something.
Yes.
And he won't always tell you what it is.
Right.
You just go and be obedient. So I ended up at the post office. I didn't meet anybody. There was no big check in the mail. I just obeyed God. End of story. Hallelujah.
She went to the post office, y'all. She obeyed God. I don't know why she went, but she went to the post office. God said go to the post office, and that's what she did. I don't know why. You don't know why God said do something. You don't know why. I don't know why. Somebody in there might need to be healed behind them counters.
Come on.
How you know?
Amen.
That floor that you walked on, you might have needed to possess that land, because somebody, the next person walked in there, might be getting ready to get saved. How you know?
Amen.
Do what God say do. Sometimes God tell you to do stuff that don't even make sense, but he's God and he knows everything, huh? That's what I said. Caller number, area code 407. You are on the air. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio out of a Pure Heart Ministry.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Who is this?
Yes, I'm. My name is Pat.
Pat?
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome. I'm just calling in. I'm listening to you all. I'm listening to the topic. It's a very good topic that it's being expounded on this morning. But even though, you know, we are talking this topic here, you know, we are to do the work of the Lord, and there is no love in the church, and, you know, the pastor is, you know, putting up their self, or whoever, you know, they're putting up their self. You know, I find that sometimes that we, the body in Christ, of Christ, we talk a lot, you know, but sometimes when the real nitty-gritty comes, the action thing, some of us who are doing the talking is still in fault, you know?
Yes.
Some of us are still involved, you know, and I just want to say that God is love. I am non-denomination. I'm not ashamed to say it, but I belong to Christ.
Amen.
I belong to him. I belong to the Heavenly Host Church.
Yes.
A denomination, non-denomination, people just trying to say that I don't get caught up in religion or I'm not a member of this church or that church, but I know the Lord.
Amen.
I know who the Lord is, and I'm not following religion or denominational, you know?
Yes.
And I'm just saying that, you know, it's the church give a good talk. We're the body of Christ. We are the church. Sometimes we give a good talk.
Mm-hmm.
But behind that good talk, it's no good thing. And each and every one of us, we have to examine ourselves daily.
Yes, ma'am.
The Word
yes.
of God tells us that, to see
yes.
if we are in the faith and if we are doing what we are supposed to do.
Yes.
And, you know, that's why the Bible said it's good when the brethren come together. I've visited many churches. I've gone to many churches. People who said they are people of God and they're this and they're spirit-filled and they are all this and all that. But no love. No love. You couldn't even, they didn't even embrace you with love. And the Bible tells
That's
you,
right.
Paul says, that you got to show yourself friendly. You got to show yourself love. You know,
yes.
you do these things, and yet and still, you know, nothing don't happen. You go among these people of God, you know, and they are just as cold, they're just as evil and wicked as they can be.
That's
so
right.
I'm just saying that, you know, the church, the pastor is responsible for teaching people to know God, to seek God, the pastor. That's the pastor's job. Even the evangelist, even the apostle, the prophet, whoever, whatever position they are in. If you're in a position of leadership, it is your duty to lead people to Christ.
That's it's your duty. That's right.
Exactly.
It's not about us.
No?
It's not about us. And when
and,
we
you know,
get our
we, I guess we have to preach this Psalms 133. We have to preach that, and we have to preach to tell people. The Bible tells us how good it is when the brethren comes together.
Yeah.
How good. It's a good thing. And people don't, churches don't realize it.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you go to churches, you go and visit some of the churches. Oh, the pastor don't want them to come over here. Oh, the pastor don't want them to go to another church and fellowship. I mean, if that person know who they are in Christ and they know that this is their church, there's nothing wrong to go and visit. The Bible tells us we must come together. There is power in unity. God wants
yes, it
unity.
Is. Yes.
You know, so it's so segregated. It makes me sick.
Yes,
that's
and is it going to be
denomination? What?
It's not going to be segregation in church. It's one Lord. It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Just
if we could get that in our head, Miss Pat, if we could get this in our head, if we could just get the, it's one Lord, it's one, it's only one, it's one faith, it's only one. And we need to come together, and I said this at the top of the broadcast, just what you said in Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for men to dwell together in unity. But read the rest of that. See, we read the rest of it. It's like a do.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to turn to it right now.
Yes.
If y'all have your Bibles, y'all turn to it, because Psalm 133, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head, the anointing, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, he was a priest, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. We want God to command a blessing. We want the anointing that destroys yokes. When we want God to command a blessing, but we can't even come together and agree. We can't even come together in unity. We can't even come together and pray. We can't even come together and pray because somebody pray in Jesus' name and somebody just say amen. Somebody won't say Jesus' name. So I can't pray with you because you won't say in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We can. I mean, these things are keeping people apart and keeping people in blindness, keeping people in darkness, and keeping people going to hell. Oh, you got baptized in Jesus' name, or you got baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, so we can't pray together because you didn't get baptized right. You speak in tongues. You got the evidence of speaking in tongues, but we got to have an interpreter so we don't speak in tongues, so we can't come together and pray. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Let me tell you something.
all this foolishness that Satan has used to keep us bound, we talk about the Israelites and we talk about the people of old and how they acted towards God and how they were disobedient and rebellious. We do the same thing. We act just like them. God told them to do X, Y, Z, and they thought they could do it a better way. When Moses went up to the mountain and God gave him the Ten Commandments, what they do? Oh, he was taking too long, so they're going to decide to put all their jewelry together and make a golden calf. What the heck? You making a golden calf? Now you done made your pastor your golden calf. Now you done made your TV and your radio your golden calf. Now you done made everything else your golden calf, and you can't even hear what the word of the Lord is saying unto you. God is saying to the body of Christ to come together and pray. Come together in unity and pray. Take your title off, because it's not about your title. We're talking about denominational differences today, but guess what? It's not even about your title, because you don't need a title to pray. You don't need a title to pray. The Bible says, I would that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, coming before the Father in prayer. Folks worried about their title, worried about a title that you do have, worried about a title that you don't have. But you don't need a title to pray. All you need is faith in Jesus Christ. All you need to be is obedient to the word of God. Get on your knees and pray, hallelujah, glory to God, and see what thus saith the Lord, glory to God. Come together in unity. I promise you, I'm going to somebody else's church. I'm going to the church because God's giving it, open up the door. God wants this thing right. And I'm going to go on Facebook, and whatever day the Lord tell me, we're going to get on Facebook, and we're going to call a prayer, and we're going to be in prayer at 5 or 4 in the morning, whatever the Lord say, and we're going to come together in unity, because people is out here dying because of our foolishness. If we would come out of the flesh and begin to walk in the spirit, we would be all on one accord, because look at the book of Revelation. Jesus kept saying, let him that have ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. Him that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Yeah, you ought to try the Spirit and see if it be of God. Try the Spirit and see if it be of God. But I tell you what, the devil ain't going to tell you to go pray. The devil is not going to tell you to come together in unity. The devil is not going to tell you to come together in unity so God can command a blessing so people can come out of darkness into the marvelous light. The devil is going to tell you, oh, you too tired. The devil is going to tell you it don't take all that. The devil is going to tell you don't listen to her because you know she used to be and she used to this and she used to do that. That's what the devil going to tell you. But I tell you what, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, you better get in touch with me and I'm going to get in touch with you, and we're going to come together in prayer and we're going to tear down this kingdom of darkness by the power of God, because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, mm-hmm. I'll draw all men unto me. And guess what? If I do call the prayer together, if God leads me to call the prayer together, I'm just going to call the prayer together. And whoever God chooses to pray, that's who God is going to use to pray, because it's not about me. I'm not calling this together for me to get on the phone line and pray. I'm calling this together because the Spirit of God said, call this thing together and get my people together in unity so that he can command the blessing, glory to God, so the oil of the anointing can come down from the high priest, who is Jesus Christ. We need the anointing oil from the high priest, Jesus Christ, to come down on us so we can pray effectively, so we can pray, so we can bring these souls out of the kingdom of darkness, glory to God. This is not time for playing, glory to God. You don't want to be like the seven sons of Sceva and going out there and don't know what you're doing and then get your butt. Because you don't know what you're doing. You better be letting the anointing of God come upon you. You better ask God for the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge so you know what to do, glory to God, and know what to pray for, glory to God. We're not out here asking for houses and cars and money and all this stuff. Yes, I'm asking for a vehicle because we need one to get the ministry done. Yes, God is going to provide that. But we're not asking God to just let us have all this money so we can sit back and do nothing. We're doing like Solomon said, God, I'm not asking you for nothing, but I'm asking you for wisdom and knowledge how to lead your people. I'm asking you for understanding of what to do in the kingdom, glory to God, because all that other stuff is going rot. All that other stuff is going to fade away. You can get the biggest house on a hill and a dog named Fluffy if you want to. You can win the $1 million lottery like that woman did. She won twice in one day. But when she died, that money ain't going with her. That money ain't going to keep her out of hell, and that money ain't going to get her in heaven. We need to set our minds on things that are spiritual. We need to set our minds on things that are heavenly, not on things on this earth. Hallelujah. And Satan has deceived so many people and let them think that it's about to fly. You got to have a car for every day of the week. You got to have a house for every day of the week. You got to have all this stuff going on, but that's not what it's about. It's about souls in the kingdom of God, glory to God. It's about getting people saved, glory to God, hallelujah. Laying hands on the sick so they might recover, glory to God. God is going to the hospital, heaping upon themselves all this medicine, and this medicine is killing them. Why? Because the body of Christ ain't praying. The body of Christ ain't laying hands on the sick. The body of Christ ain't doing what the word of God said. Instead of any among you sick, let them call for the elders of the church.
Come on here.
Busy
God, my God.
Jesus. I ask God to forgive us in the body of Christ. We turn to everything else but Him.
Amen.
And you hear people walking around talking about, well, you done tried everything else. You might as well try Christ. How about you try Him first and you might not go through some of the stuff you're going through?
Tell it.
My Lord and my God.
Hallelujah.
We need to repent. We need to repent individually, and we need to repent as a body of Christ, I'm telling you, because we have sinned before God. We have taken God, and we have used God, and we have used Him, and we have denied Him, sitting up in church denying God. You say, well, I'm not denying God because I'm going to church. You're denying God because you refuse to do what He tells you to do. From sin. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will heal from heaven. I will forgive your sin and I will heal your land. But we want God to heal our land and we want Him to forgive our sins, but we don't want to turn from our wicked ways. We don't want to get on our knees and pray. We don't want to seek His face. We don't want that. We want the benefits of God and we don't want to do nothing for Him.
Amen.
My God, you forgive us, please, Lord God. I ask you to forgive us, the body of Christ. We're so busy talking about what the sinner is doing. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do because their father is a devil. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. But what about you? The way some of us live, we live just like the devil.
Amen.
Go to church Sunday after Sunday, Monday after Monday, whatever day of the week we go to church and still come out living like the devil. But you want to talk about everybody else. He said, if my people, my people, my people. He wasn't talking to the sinner. He said, if my people.
Our people.
When you going to get that through your head? If my people that are called by my name. He said, if. He didn't say when my people. He said, if my people. That means. Know that some of them is just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. It might be you waiting for the pastor to pray for you. Forget that. Forget that. Pray for yourself.
Come on here, sister.
Deliver you yourself. You waiting on the pastor, and the pastor needs to be delivered. You waiting on the pastor needs to be healed. You waiting on the pastor, and the pastor needs to set free from their past hurts. They need to be set free because they still carrying around baggage trying to preach to you. Pastor, you waiting for the prophet to come and tell so they can call your name personally and say, God got a blessing with your name on it. I can say that. Ain't nobody anointing me as a prophetess, but I can say God got a blessing with your name on it. But guess what? I'm not trying to tell you that God got a blessing with your name. I'm trying to tell you that you better get your life right and get before God like never before or you're going to hell. Because guess what? You know when your life is going to be required of you. You don't know when God's going to call you. And a little bit of disobedience, it just messes everything up. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven. Come on now. I just sinned a little bit. Oh, I just slept with him one time. I just slept with her one time because I wanted to try the girl-on-girl thing, so I just did it one time. Now you all messed up.
Come on.
But you're the choir director, okay? But you the pastor's armor bearer, okay? And you sitting around doing all of this heathen stuff like you ain't never been born again, like you not a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, but all things. Listen, the body of Christ needs to sit everybody down. Everybody needs to sit down and go before God.
Preach.
Shut your mouth. Shut your TV off, turn your plate down, and go before God.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you're trying to speak to the body of Christ, and the body of Christ ain't listening. The body of Christ thinks because you go to church and you run around the church and you shout and your wig fall off and you sweat out your best suit and all that all is well. Anybody could do that. The Bible says bodily exercise profit is little. But what is it that you're doing in the spirit? What demons you chasing out in the spirit? What demons you commanded to leave in the name of Jesus? Who you laying hands on and they getting well? Who is you ministering to the word of God and they getting saved? That's what it's about. You talking a bunch of smack and then you going right around and living dirty. You the song used to be out called Riding Dirty. Riding Dirty. You walking around riding dirty because you preaching the word of God out one side of your mouth, but as soon as you leave, you hoeing. You drinking, you cussing, you lying, stealing. You backbiting. You doing all of this stuff. So you riding dirty. It's time to get clean in the name of Jesus. It's time to get clean in the name of Jesus. It's time to get clean in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, won't you save us, Jesus? Oh, we need to be saved. We need a clean heart today, God. Oh, God created us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, God. Because we've been faking so long. So many people have been faking so long. They don't even know they're still faking.
Come on.
Just because you know the word of God, you might be so well versed in the word of God. You might think you know everything in the word of God, but God say, check your heart.
Hey.
Your heart, because your heart ain't right.
Jesus.
I see your heart. I see what you do secretly. I hear what you think secretly. I see the motives and the plans that you're trying to set up for somebody else. But God's saying the same hole you digging for them, that's the one you're going to fall in. And you better hope I get you out.
All right.
The same one you digging. The same plot you plotting for them. You better watch it. You better watch. You condemning the sinner, but you better check yourself. The spirit of God is sending conviction today. The spirit of God is sending conviction to the body of Christ, and the body of Christ better hear what the spirit of the Lord is saying.
Amen.
We better, what the spirit of the Lord God is saying to us today, right now, right now. Jesus. Area code 215. Bishop Scott. Okay, he's on the line, but he must have disappeared. But guess what? I can't go any further. I can't do anything else.
All right. It's all right today, sister. It's all right today. The Spirit of the Lord has spoken. And those that have an ear, we need to hear what the Spirit said to the church, us today. We got to hear and obey because God is not playing. And he's not talking about what you're talking about, and he's not talking about trying to impress people, but he's talking about a real obedience unto him and his word this day. Hallelujah. Make me want to sing. Oh, my goodness.
Say,
this is the day. Woo. This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
He give us today, he give us today. We have a chance today to pray. We have a chance today to fall on our face before Almighty God. Repent.
Yes, yes,
ask God to show us the way. Ask God to help us not to do it according to our denomination, not to do it according to our ministry, not to do it according to what we think we know.
Jesus.
But, Father, help us to do it according to your will and your way.
Help
us to obey at any cost this day. And, Father, help us not to look, but, God, help us to have faith and trust in you and obey.
Yes, Father. In the name
of Jesus. Help us to share with others and those who are not living right, those who have not received you. God, help us to help them so that hell won't be their home.
Yes, Father.
For in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, we thank you right now. We thank
you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for your word coming forth today.
Thank
for every word of yours is pure.
Yes.
And Father, your shield unto them that put their trust in you.
Yes, hallelujah.
We believe your word today.
Hallelujah.
And help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
That we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes, Father.
But
in the name
today,
of Jesus.
God, that whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is right, God, this is what we want to do.
Yes.
And when
Lord,
you speak to our hearts, help us to move right then and obey.
Yes.
And God,
Lord.
Help us not to be concerned about what people think about us, but
Father,
that we are obedient unto you.
Yes.
Father,
Lord.
I ask today that you would bless these your people that heard the word.
Yes.
God,
Lord.
They would obey from their heart today. In the name of
In
Jesus.
The name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Help us all today, God, that we share with others, that none that we can help not to be lost.
Yes.
That God, they won't be lost.
Help us to come off of titles and denominations.
Yes, yes, yes.
And help us to get real with you today.
In
the
name
of
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you right now. We thank
you
for hearing God.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for answering our prayer.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you that you're right there no matter what.
Yes, hallelujah.
We thank you today. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. That hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Evangelist Mac. I do see area code 713.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
baby. No, that's okay. I just noticed it because I'd be in between these things. I don't know if this is Miss Pat. Hold on. Hello, area code 713. Is this Miss Pat?
Yes, good morning, and all praises to the Most High, because, hey, guess what? We got to give praise to what is most. Got to give praise to what is utmost. Got to give praise to what is the highest. I was listening this morning, and a lot of what I heard told me that, like I said this morning, I had a pretty strong anointing that hit me with a lot of things. And a lot of what's being talked about on the show now is relevant, very, very relevant to it. And, I mean, I could get off into a lot of, let's just say, diatribe with regard to what's been said this morning, but I want to say what I want to say, and I want to say it very, very quietly. I want to say it calmly, and I'm praying, Spirit, help us get beyond all our flesh to understand. Understand what that scripture really means when it says, he who has ears and hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Because oftentimes the folks running the churches may not realize just how much they're functioning after somebody's perceptions after the flesh. And we have to wake up beyond it. Something the Most High Creator told me many years ago, and he said to me these words, and he's kept it since. He says, as what people call the body of Christ, he said, till we are one, we are not saved. Till we are one, till we all speak together, as he said, with one mind, one mouth, one understanding, no divisions among us, we still are, in some respect, not whole. In some respect, we're still not complete. In some respect, we're still being driven by somebody's perception that doesn't open the doors with a whole heart for all that is his will. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah, and it's also repeated again in Philippians and Romans 14, and it says, straight out, it says, to him every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear allegiance. There's something that even says, even to him shall mighty men come. It means all those who call themselves wise in this world are going to have to humble themselves by one righteousness. And by I say one righteousness, I mean wherever folks have fallen short because of some doctrines in this world, wherever folks have added something in that doesn't belong because of the indiscriminate nature of the systems of this world we've been subject to. When the gospel said, go forth and teach all nations everything, the Holy Spirit was not to be constrained by any man. We live in a world right now that by and large people ask the question why we can't get together and be one. To tell you something, if there are critical truths that have been forgotten, and men will not open their hearts to receive them, guess what? Until we receive those hidden pieces, something is always left unstable. I hope you hear me, people out there. Wherever people are that might want to hear what the Spirit says, it teaches all things, no lie in it, that brings all things to remembrance. Please understand, there are truths that have been, by most folks among the churches, totally forgotten. He is not willing to hear that fullness. The Spirit seeks to teach all things. The churches and people in command over churches have shut their ears so as not to hear it, to preserve many of the corruptions that are already in their hearts. All the corruptions, if you will, that are already false doctrines in the mind.
Yes, it is. That's true. And we have a couple of minutes left before we end the broadcast. And I'd like to
say this, please, then, for just a moment, then, please. There's a website called hiddengospel.com. Most of you have been telling me a whole lot of things that need to be remembered, that since Roman persecutions, Hellenization, seeking to preserve a whole lot of polytheisms, let's just say they've entered into the churches now. People wanted to preserve them, having wanted to see what's necessary to become pure. And understand, purity and completion only offers one choice. Sometimes a whole lot of things that are necessary to clean us up, folks haven't wanted to hear.
That's
a lot
right.
of things that are necessary to add what's necessary to become whole, folks haven't wanted to hear. And because they've been made secure by somebody calling himself a pastor, when it says the angel of the church, it's talking to the leaders of the church. Hey, let the people hear everything that needs to be heard.
Yeah.
Then we can be one. When it says the hymn of the initial body, it talks
okay,
clearly.
I just need to interrupt. One second, Evangelist. One second.
Have a bless, y'all.
All stems from this, brother. It all stems from this. We must seek God individually.
Individually.
For ourselves. For ourselves. I don't care what they're hiding in the church, what they think they're doing. If we seek God with our whole heart, he coming. He will in no wise cast us out. And I know you got to go, Evangelist Scott. I'm going to turn it back over to
no,
you.
No, go ahead, because I was trying to get in there and say this. And this is Ed. He's in the chat room, too, so I know this is Ed. I didn't recognize the number, but this is Ed. But we all have to seek the Lord with our whole heart. As I stated at some point in this broadcast on today, God knows the heart. He knows the entire heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl on this earth. God is going to hold us responsible for what we do. The body of Christ does have to come together in unity. The body of Christ has to come together in unity. But God is not going to cast the whole body, those of us that's not listening. He's not going to cast us into hell because everybody else not listening. He's not going to do that because it's an individual walk with God. However,
Amen.
The body of Christ needs to come together so that we can get that power as a group, as a unit, so we can go out together and cast out demons. Not one person over here saying, well, I don't believe you're supposed to cast out demons. Well, that's why you're not casting none out. That's why your church tore up, because you don't believe in casting out demons. But guess what? Those, again, that have the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying into the church is going to fall in line to what the Holy Spirit is saying.
Man.
There's other spirits out there talking and running their mouths. And again, I'll say it again. People out here with so much knowledge of the Word of God don't want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Little old folk like me that don't know nothing. Yeah, I went to a theology school, but God ain't not, he's not letting me use all of that theology stuff. He's just letting me use the Word of God and His Spirit. And that's what's going to tear things down in the kingdom of God. Because I could have an A, B, C, D, E, F, D. I could have a PhD. I could have a whatever, an MM, a PP, or whatever behind my name. And that don't mean nothing. What matters is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God and the anointing of God that's going to destroy the yoke. So I can talk to you with great big words and talk to you with all of this theology stuff and make it sound like I know everything and you can't tell me nothing, but that don't mean nothing. People need to hear the truth, the truth, the truth, because nowadays especially there are not a whole lot of people getting educated to that level where they understand that theology stuff anyway. So we got to get to them, and again, like I said, we need to pray for wisdom from God. We need to pray for knowledge and understanding that we can teach His people what they're supposed to know, so we can bring the people out of the kingdom of darkness and into His marvelous light. We know that as human beings, we're not going to know every single thing because God is Spirit, and He is going to be forever and ever and ever. We're never in our humanness going to know God in His fullness. We're never going to know Him as human beings, God in His fullness. But what we do know about God is what we're supposed to be teaching. What we do know about God is what we're supposed to be preaching. And first and foremost, what we do know about God is what we're supposed to be living. We're not
Amen.
Supposed to be teaching the Word of God and then living some other kind of way. We're not supposed to be teaching the Word of God, but that you in the club dropping it like it's hot. And you saying it's okay because God understand that you got to get jiggy with it. Okay, God understand that we're human, but God is not going to accept what you say. We're supposed to accept what God say. God's word is not going to change because of us. We're supposed to change because of the Word of God. And that's
Amen.
How it's supposed to be. And that's how it is. Let me tell you something. I don't get down with people that got all this theology. And I'm not saying anything about you, Ed. I'm not talking about you because my husband is very well versed in the Word of God. He is very well versed in the Word of God, okay? He can go toe-to-toe with the best of them, but that's not what God calls him to do. He can break it down so that a kindergarten can understand what is going on. And that's what we got to approach some people that way because they don't understand all of this other stuff. You can't be so deep in the Word that people don't even know what you're talking about. And that's look, I'm coming at you where God leads me to come at you, and he leads me to come at you. I'm real. Some people tell me I tell too much, but I got to tell you, This is what God delivered me from. I'm telling you, God delivered me from this, and he can deliver you from that same thing. Why? Because he is God, and he changes not. I was a hellion. I went down a dry devil, and I came back up a wet devil because I was a hellion. I'm telling you, mother, you don't know. I went down a dry devil full of hell, full of demons, legions, but there was no power in that church to cast some demons out. They thought if I just went under the water, you know, I went to the water, and I've been baptized. My soul got happy, and I'm satisfied. Listen. Stop that foolishness. Okay. Went down a dry devil and came up just a wet. The demons even got wet, and they got mad at me saying, why you let them baptize us? You know we didn't want to get baptized. Now we're going to make you act crazier, and that's just what happened. I went out there and started acting crazier, mother, and I was in the Baptist church and went down there and got baptized. Ain't nobody had no power to cast them demons out of me. That's why I was in the church trying to fight the pastor's wife, physically in the church trying to fight because them demons was in there. They got wet and got mad and like, what you trying to do? We ain't trying to be baptized. What's wrong with you? Went in the church and was fighting the people. Let me tell you, crazy on top of crazy is what I was until one day I met the real man called Jesus. Hallelujah. He baptized me not only in my body, but I got baptized in the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He baptized me, hallelujah, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He baptized me with the Holy Ghost and with power. Yes, he did. Glory to God. That's the kind of God I serve. And he wants us to go out and be witnesses of him in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm living in the uttermost parts of the earth. You're living in the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's get it done, because that's what it's about. We have one more caller. We're going to go to area code 614. Area code 614, you on the line. Hello.
Praise the Lord.
Hi, who's this?
Brother Dre.
This is Brother Dre in the chat room.
Brother Dre. Brother Dre. When I get to talking and get to getting on that Holy Ghost speed, that's what I call a Holy Ghost speed. I don't be in the chat room.
You got to go with it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got to go with it.
My girlfriend said, you better go back and listen to that. She said, because you were saying some stuff on there, and I don't even remember half of the stuff that be coming out my mouth. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost. How you doing, Brother Jay?
I'm doing good. How about for you and Evangelist Mac doing it and Bishop G-Man doing it?
We fine. I don't know where the
okay.
Oh, there you are. He on the line.
There you go. God bless. God bless. Yeah, I just wanted to add real quick, because this is an excellent, excellent, excellent topic that is going to need to go around the body of Christ, because what you and Evangelist Mac have said, that people need to study for themselves, because a lot of people, their whole denomination is steeped in tradition. So if you even show them that their doctrine is in complete error with the scriptures, just because they're so indoctrinated in tradition and don't want to give up that tradition, they're not going to change, because even the leadership, you know, the whole church is founded on this. So it'll affect, like, their jobs, their positions.
Yes.
And a lot of these leaders, they don't want to give up their jobs or their positions, because if they change that doctrine and say that, well, we were wrong all these years, you know, a lot of them ain't going to want to lose face like that.
They don't want to lose faith like that. They don't want to lose members, and they sure enough don't want to lose them tithes and offerings.
Offerings, you know. You gotta understand for yourself. This is your eternal salvation, where you're going to spend the rest of eternity.
Yes.
You know, just because they want to keep their job or they want to keep their tradition, you're going to have to decide for yourself: is this going to be my eternal salvation? Am I going to follow them to where they're going to, just because they don't want to give up what they got now, or they just don't want to give up their tradition?
If they start studying the Word of God, like you said, and like Evangelist Mac said, and like my husband says, and my husband is on the line, and I want to give him a couple of minutes to speak, but I'm trying to tell you, if we would study the Word of God for ourselves, we will begin to see what God is really saying to the church. We will begin to see for ourselves, but we want the man to study for us. We want the man to come to church and hoop and holler for us. We want the man to teach us, you know. And one thing about my pastor, her name is Sheila Miller, I'll tell you one thing about her. She tell you, when you come to Bible study, have your Bible, and then whatever I'm teaching you, go home. Go home, and don't just take what I said. Go home, read some scriptures, and pray. Ask God to give you understanding of what is being said. Do not sit here and just take what I'm saying. You get in that word,
yourself. That's one thing about her I love, that she will say that. You better study that word of God for yourself. Don't wait until you just come in here on Tuesdays or Fridays or whatever day of the week you come. You better know that word of God for yourself. And it's vitally important. If we look at the word of God like life support.
Yeah.
Life support. Okay.
Yes.
A lot of people's life support has been turned off and they don't even know it.
That's true.
Amen.
A lot of people's life has been turned off and they're walking around dead. And so, let me tell you something. As many of y'all that are listening in the chat room on the phone line, if you would like for me to be a guest on your program, I sure will. But I'm not doing it because I want fame and fortune, because you're not going to get no fame and fortune off of this anyway. But let me tell you something. Not the fame and fortune God wants you to have. Some people getting rich off of the gospel. Yes, they are, but they're going to bust hell wide open. They're going to be like, God, but what happened?
Okay.
He's going to say, you wasn't doing this for my glory. You was doing this for your glory. So get away from me, you worker of iniquity.
Okay.
I don't even know you. But if you don't mind the word of God going forth, you got Evangelist Mack on this line. This is a powerhouse in and of herself. My husband, Gerald Scott, is on the line. He will be on Jesus in the Morning tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. I would ask you to turn in and join him, okay? And I'm just his wife. I love him. I love God. Whatever he's going to do, I'm supporting him because I know he is a man of God. But let me tell you something. Jesus in the Morning, if y'all haven't been by Jesus in the Morning, I suggest you go to Jesus in the Morning. This lady has guests on her program that will blow your mind. The word of God comes forth on that program so much it will blow your mind. Sometimes I leave the broadcast crying. I leave the broadcast crying sometimes because the word of God is just so powerful. And it's not about Barbara Jean Mack, because when the Spirit of God comes in that place, and I'm telling you, he's always there, you don't even hear Barbara Jean Mack. You hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and that's how it's supposed to be. You shouldn't even hear Teresa. You should hear the Spirit of God talking to you, glory to God, because that's what it's about. Hallelujah. I'm not here to teach you error. I'm not trying to here to teach you to come out of your denomination. I'm trying to get you to hear the Spirit of the Lord and hear what he's saying so you can get right with God, so we all can come together in the spirit of unity. And we only have a few more minutes. Honey, what do you have to say?
I just enjoyed the whole program. Naturally, I always enjoy Brother Dre, and I enjoy sitting with my wife. You're a powerhouse. Evangelist Mack, I'm like you too, Teresa. I mean, her program is just, I wake up now anticipating it. I wake up now just longing to hear it. And I tell you the truth, it's a wonderful way to wake up in the morning. The guest that she has, and she herself, the testimony of her own life, the witness of her own life is so powerful. And I tell you, it a lot of good feelings happen there. It's a conviction hour, 2 hours, but it's also a time where we can smile and we can laugh, and I mean, it's a wonderful time. It's a learning experience there, and it's a learning experience here. And I tell you the truth, in terms of denominations, I was in a denomination for most of my life, for 50 plus years, and over 40 plus years in a particular denomination, and really many of the beliefs I still hold as true. But let me tell you something about denominations that I've discovered. It's going to be a hard thing to break. It's going to be a hard thing to break because people are so entrenched, not just in tradition, Brother Dre, but they're entrenched in the power that their denomination has given them. They're entrenched in the prestige. Really, in terms of our own tradition, as Black African Americans, many times the church is the only place we really have any power, any real voice, any real status, if you will. It's the only place we have that. On our jobs, we're subordinate to somebody. In our lives, we're subordinate to other people. I mean, this is the only place where a cook can be a pastor, where a janitor can be a deacon, where a man who's out of work can still be a trustee. It's the only place where we, and traditionally, we came out of a place of slavery, a place of degradation, a place of torture. And the church was our haven. The church was the place where we went to discover who we really are in God. So the church is really the leadership has corrupted it. But I think a lot of times the fellowship has really loved it to the point where they, just like you said before, many of you have said, they're blindly following it. Because what else? What is the alternative?
That's
See,
right.
I always believe this about even about our faith. when we tell folk, well, get out of this and stop doing that and stop doing this, but are we ever giving them the alternative? Many times churches are not. I'm at the age now, I'm 60 years old, it'll be 61 in November, and I'm at the age now where I want to be a part of a ministry, and I'm glad that God has placed us where he's placed us, but I want to be a part of a ministry where they're doing something.
Yes.
That it's not just about thou shalt not, but there's a place where I can go where I can find the alternative. I can't do this, I can't do that, and the church has nothing to take its place.
Uh-huh.
The church has nothing that has no programs where they can come on a Wednesday night or they can come on a Tuesday night. And I don't mean just in Bible study, but something that we can do together as believers. Go out there and witnessing. Go out sometime, even have fun with one another.
Yes.
There's good, wholesome fun that believers miss out on sometimes because we just don't come together enough. We come together at certain points. We come together on Sunday morning. We leave. We never see each other again. We don't talk to each other until next Wednesday or next Sunday where we converge on the church again in those four walls. And I think sometimes that hurts the body.
Yes.
Because I tell you the truth, over and over again, you'll see Christ himself. You'll see the apostles in the Bible, and they commune with each other. They sat down. They went to each other's houses, as Evangelist Max said. And they not only just talked about God, but they also fellowshiped with each other. They ate with each other. They drank with each other. They supped with each other. I believe they enjoyed each other's conversation, and they talked one to another. And there was a sense of community. There was a sense of oneness. When someone was in need, they rallied together and not just said, we're going to pray for you. But the second chapter of Acts also talks about after the Pentecost experience, it ends with this. It said when the needs of the body were known, everybody sold what they had in order to give them what they needed. And then was there 3,000 people converted and convinced and persuaded to become Christians in one day. Then after all of that, not just after the Pentecost experience, not just after the Holy Spirit had anointed them in that powerful way in speaking in tongues, but then they revealed the true nature of the Holy Spirit, which is not just feeling good and talking in tongues and acting like you're drunk, but it's also going out and doing something to make a difference in somebody else's life. The church, if we would be more about going out and doing something, making a difference in somebody's life, maybe then we won't be concerned about what dress you have on and what jewelry you have on and whether you say you speak in the name of Christ alone or whether you baptize infants or whether you don't baptize infants. Those matters will mean nothing in comparison to the real calling God called us to. God called us to be witnesses to the world and to show the world through our own example that Christ loves and lives and is very much active in the world today. If we were about the real things of God instead of the things of the church, maybe the church, which is you and I, will become what God intended to be in the first place.
Well, hallelujah. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
We have less than 3 minutes left. Let me tell you something. He should have been on the broadcast about 15 minutes ago.
Okay, because this boy done brought that thing.
He done brought that thing like
in three minutes. Have mercy, Bishop. I can't fool with you, man.
What are we going to do in the morning? I don't know what we're going to do at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Lord, have mercy.
I'm going to put a seatbelt on.
Put a seatbelt on.
Thank God for his Holy Spirit.
You know, I don't like to end my broadcast unless I give the call to salvation. And we're about to end. But let me say, before we say that, I'm switching to 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. because I'm currently on 3 to 11. But I'll be on the 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. shift. So I will be trying to listen to you. If you don't see me on the line, Evangelist Mac, I will be calling from area code 215-252. Okay, that's my cell phone if I can get on. Otherwise, 215-747 is my husband. He'll be calling from the house. So I am starting this new position. But you see, area code 215-252, that will be me just listening because I will be at work. That's if I can. So I wanted to put that out there. Our broadcast is going to be switching to the evening time because I am going on this new schedule that I do praise God for this new schedule. We're going to be switching to the evening. I don't know what time yet, but if you follow me on Facebook, you will see I will be posting on Facebook what time we're going to be ministering in the evening.
Okay? So watch for that. But in the meantime, we're going to pray for souls to come out of the kingdom of darkness today.
Quickly, before you do that right now, quickly, I had something I needed to share with you. One thing is this. I got to share this quickly. Evangelist Scott,
yes.
God is blessing you, and he's going to move you into some different times and areas. Because of this, you followed something, and we'll talk about it in private. You followed something, and the oil flows down. And because you took the initiative to follow this thing and to post where you post, God is blessing you, woman, and eyes have not seen, ears have not heard all that he has in store for you right here on the earth. So I just had to share that with you. And
amen.
We're talking private about some other things. God bless
amen.
You.
Amen. I'll call you after the broadcast is over.
Yes.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just lift up everybody to you on this broadcast, on the lines, in the archives, Lord God, in the chat room. Father, if anybody amongst us is not saved, Father, we say that your word says, Jesus said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you are that whosoever today, if you are that whosoever, I compel you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. I ask you to read Romans 10, 9, and 10 so you can see what the word of God says for yourself, that confession with the mouth is made unto salvation. You believe with your heart the Lord Jesus and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I thank and praise God today for your salvation. I thank and praise God that you are coming out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. If you'd like to get in touch with any of us, you can catch us on Facebook. Bishop Scott's on Facebook. Barbara Jean Max on Facebook. I am on Facebook. Jesus in the Morning comes on 7 a.m. Eastern Time every morning, Monday through Friday. And tomorrow, my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott, will be the guest. And you can look forward on the radio on my Facebook page to see what times we will be airing our new broadcast time. Until then, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Brother Dre, Bishop Scott, Ed, Barbara Jean Mack from Freedom Doors Ministry, Guest 827, K-Pal. I read some of your comments. Thank you so much for your comments. Contact me on Facebook. Lisa Shaw Evans, you know I love you so much. You are my iron. She sharpens me because I'm telling you, we sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron. And I thank God for that. So Jesus is Lord. Until we meet again, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And have a most wonderful, wonderful day. Amen. Amen. Amen.